This is Dub Alexander, your host of Are You Real Government. I've got a great show coming up for you right after this word from our sponsors.
Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Government is everywhere, personally, nationally, globally, and heavenly. Welcome to Are You Real Government, the premier media outlet where we discuss what's going on around the world and how to release God's governance, the kingdom, into it. Each week, we'll be equipping you with kingdom understanding and giving you the inside track to government leaders around the globe. Now get ready to get real about government with Are You Real Government.
What in the world is going on? And more importantly, what in your world is going on? This is Dub Alexander, spiritual advisor to the influential and your host of Are You Real Government. Today's interview is with a true general in the kingdom, Abby Abeldness, who is the founder and executive director of Healing Tree International, which has healing centers literally all over the world. She is the leader of the Global Apostolic Prayer Network, a coach to the influential in all seven mountains of influence, and a developer of kingdom models for implementation in the government and business mountains. Prior to this interview, she was kind enough to send me the DVD of her tour of the Pennsylvania Capitol called Penn's Sacred Challenge and her prayer and declaration guide Restoring America, both of which are eye-opening and excellent. You can find links to these products on the show notes page at areyoureal.org. I caught up with Abby at her extremely classy Londonderry Inn bed and breakfast just outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I've got to tell you that the atmosphere of that place was incredible. If you are ever in the area, I cannot recommend it enough. As we talked prior to the interview, which you are about to hear, she spoke of her passion to see influencers made whole, spirit, soul, and body, so that their sphere of influence, whether family, city, or a nation, could experience the wholeness as well. Having worked as a behavioral science professor at Penn State University Hospital, also known as Hershey Medical Center, Abby began to engage in Holy Spirit-led miraculous healing before following God's call into the government mountain. Abby carries a high level of credibility both in the secular and spiritual realms. So sit back and enjoy just a taste of her depth, wisdom, and insight. So I know that we share a common understanding of kingdom theology and the Seven Mountain Strategy in particular that I've taught on in previous episodes. What is it about the government mountain that drew you to it and that you are so passionate about?
Well, I guess the first thing is that I got an open door. God led the way into that area, and I found that I could actually influence government leaders and legislation through prayer and through what God was saying as we prayed with them. And that actually was life-changing, even to Christian legislators who, before we started praying with them, they would just think of legislation, they would write legislation and say, God bless my legislation. But they found from us, let's pray and get revelation from God for what He would want to come out in legislation. So now we're working on religious freedom legislation in society. So when I realized that I could influence legislation through praying with legislative leaders who wanted that help, then I was like, this is amazing. And I had one legislator that I started with that was the head of the judicial committee. He cared a lot about justice, and he was a Christian, but he didn't realize there's a lot in the Bible about justice and that there's truth that can impact his legislation. And so once he realized that, he even made a verse from Amos 5:15, his theme verse for his legislation. And that was, hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant. So if we can establish godly justice and influence a place that everyone has to obey what the laws in the land, so it's a matter of high influence from God's kingdom governance.
I love that. So good. So let's take a little shift into some of the material that you sent me. You sent me your DVD, Penn's Sacred Challenge, which again, there will be a link to in the show notes, in which you take people on a tour of the Pennsylvania State Capitol in Harrisburg, and you really bring to life all of the paintings and the scriptures that literally cover the interior of that historic building. So when did the connection between you and all of the treasure that is hidden in plain sight right there occur, and how did this project come into being?
It probably started about 10 years ago. I would go into the Capitol once a week, meeting with different legislators, praying with them. And then an artist came to me and she said, "Do you realize what the paintings are on the walls of the Capitol? Do you realize that Penn's message of how he founded our state, the message is on the walls?" And so she took me around to see all the art, and there's over 60 scriptures on the walls of the Capitol mixed in with this art. And as she showed me that, I started to realize there's revelation. It's hidden in plain sight. The legislators don't realize it. The people working at the Capitol don't realize it, but there's a message on the walls. And so I started taking people on tours. I'm like, look at what's here on these walls, you know, just going around. And it probably culminated just a few years ago when the legislators said, "Give us a tour."
Right.
And so I took the legislators on the tour of the Capitol, and it was stunning. Even though they worked there, they didn't know the message on the walls. And when they realized it, a number of them said, "I knew I was to be in office. I didn't realize why. Now I realize the call on my life because of the call of this state." And so it's just been a profound impact on people that take that Capitol, the Sacred Challenge Capitol tour that I give. And I really say this is a sacred challenge from Penn, really from God, to us as believers today.
So I, for one, was blown away by the amount of detail, the excellence, and the use of scripture in the artwork, but also by the blatant depiction of the leading of the Holy Spirit and angelic involvements in the founding of Pennsylvania. Could you please touch on those two subjects?
Well, I guess it really started with Penn, and when he got the calling from God, he was a student in school. He was young, and he was studying, and suddenly a light came into the room. And a voice came in, which he believed was God's voice, and he calls it his seal of divinity, that he heard the words from Isaiah 45, "He shall build my city, and he shall set my captives free." And from then, Penn became committed, even though there was going to be influence in the government, he became committed to what God wanted to pour out by his spirit in the governance. And governance for religious freedom. And so Penn carried this. He became a Quaker. He became influential. People just started following his teachings. And then Violet Oakley was the artist that did the painting. She started studying the Quaker belief. And she started wanting to bring this message to life on the walls, that people would know what the message was. And I guess stunning in that there was a lot of angels in these paintings.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of realization in their day that there was an influence of angels as messengers of heaven, which we know biblically they're messengers. There was influence of them, you see in the paintings, speaking into the ears of kings to help them make decisions. There was a lot of angelic influence to help God's purposes to come forth that we don't seem to realize today.
Right. I love that. And I know that we share the same belief that that is available and that we should engage that and see what's going to change in our nation through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved how you told the story of how Penn handled himself with such honor in his dealings with the king and in turn with the Native Americans. And I know that you have the ability to share these parts of the story much more eloquently than I. So would you be willing to touch on those two parts of the story?
Okay, well, I'll just start. He did have a lot of honor, but it started out the king was threatened. He was talking about another kingdom.
Right.
And because he was the Quaker, they believed that they would only tip their hat to the King of Kings, not to King Charles
II. Gotcha.
And so he ended up in prison several times. There ended up being issues because the king was threatened by what kind of kingdom and what kind of following does this guy have? What's going to happen? And I guess the honoring part was when Penn's father, who was an admiral in the king's navy, when his father passed, the king owed a high amount of funds now to William Penn, who founded our state. And he didn't really want to give him those funds because he didn't want him to get any more power. And Penn turned out he didn't really want the funds. He wanted the land to be able to establish this kingdom governance model that God had shown him. And so they made an agreement, you know, that he would get the deed to the land across the ocean. He would get out of England.
Right.
He would actually get more land than even the size of England, but that he would have the chance to establish the kind of kingdom governance he felt like God was showing him. So right. There was honor in that relationship, you know, as he went ahead peacefully. He didn't disrupt anything for King Charles. But then he got into the land, and the land that he was deeded from the king had First Nation Indians on it.
Right.
And so it was land that was already occupied. So he wanted to show honor to them as he came into the land. He actually paid three different Indian chiefs the funds for the land to show honor to them.
Wow.
And he ended up even making a peace treaty with them to show his honor. Because all the other British that came into the land would kill the Indians to take their land.
Right.
But the Quakers didn't do that. They wanted to have a peace treaty, in a sense, a peaceful agreement. And so I have a copy of what Penn spoke to them when he made his first peace treaty that becomes a model for us for peace treaties around the world. And so I just want to read the things that
Absolutely.
He spoke. He spoke this to Chief Tamenund in 1683, and he was actually establishing a covenant with the Lenape people. So he proclaimed in their language, "We meet on the broad pathway of good faith and goodwill. No advantage shall be taken on either side, but all shall be openness and love. We're the same as if one man's body was to be divided into two parts. We're of one flesh and one blood." Okay, so the Lenape chief responded. His name was Chief Tamenund, and he said, "We will live in love with William Penn and his children as long as the creeks and rivers run and while the sun, moon, and stars endure. How beautiful and praiseworthy when the children come together in peace and love." So
wow.
Chief Tamenund was responding, "For every generation, we will keep this peace treaty that was established in love between us and you, William Penn."
Wow. Talk about such a good start that you really don't hear about. At least I didn't growing up.
Right.
And what year is this in?
This is in 1683. And by the way, this peace treaty, you will see it in sandstone in our Capitol Rotunda in D.C. You'll see
wow.
the two of them standing under the elm tree, and you'll see their peace treaty in hand. So you'll see how that's 100 years before our founding fathers
right.
that this first treaty was established.
And earlier today, you told me that you referred to Penn as the...
the grandfather of our nation.
The grandfather
he is actually,
of our nation.
He actually, his ideologies, his governmental writings actually influenced our founding fathers. And they actually, as they were writing our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, they actually went to the Iroquois chiefs. The Iroquois, this would have been the governing body of the First Nations.
Uh-huh.
They went, Ben Franklin went to them three times to get some of the ideology that happened between Penn and them in establishing kingdom governance.
Wow. So good. In addition to Penn's vision to establish a place where people could experience religious liberty, he had a much larger vision concerning providing a blueprint that all of the nations of the world could follow and learn to operate together in peace. Would you speak to the visionary that he was?
Well, I guess I want to say he wrote the first founding documents for government. And he had a preface to what he would call the first frame of government. And it's amazing how he started in the preface. I'd like to read some of what that preface was.
Absolutely. Please do.
This was in 1682. And he starts out, "When the great and wise God had made the world, all of his creatures, it pleased him to choose man his deputy to rule it. And to fit him for so great a charge and trust, he did not only qualify him with skill and power, but with integrity to use them justly. This native goodness was equally his honor and his happiness, and while he stood here, all went well. There was no need of coercive or compulsive means. The precept of divine love and truth in his bosom was the guide and keeper of his innocency. But lust prevailing against duty made a lamentable breach upon it, and the law that before had no power over him took place upon him and his disobedient posterity, that such as would not live comfortable to the holy law within should fall under the reproof and correction of the just law in a judicial administration. This, the apostle teaches, is the diverse in the epistles, and the law was added because of transgression. In other words, because of the sin of man, that man wouldn't live out of that divine law of love in his hearts and treat each other well, this was the reason that they had to establish the law and the government to make the people behave that wouldn't behave and treat each other well.
Right.
So the whole origin of government was to get everyone to behave, to treat each other well in society.
Absolutely.
So for that reason, this is the beginning of his divine law of governance and his writings of all the branches of how we're going to keep it. We're not going to trust one man to decide by himself. We'll need these branches for checks to help people to cooperate together in a way that we should have been doing anyhow before the divine creator of us
right.
all.
Absolutely. I've said before that we're not meant to have rulership as kings over each other, but over atmospheres and territories and things. But the necessity for the management of justice, that really brings in mm-hmm. what you were talking about there. I was impressed by how many state representatives made appearances in your documentary, and I just want to honor you for carrying yourself as a true stateswoman and being able to build relationships with influencers in the government mountain at the level that you do. It's super impressive. So what is a tip that you would give a listener who feels called to the government mountain, but perhaps only has a background in the religious mountain, for instance? What is something practical that they can learn in the area of protocol so that they don't embarrass themselves or, frankly, the message of the kingdom in these high governmental circles that you work with?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first started there, to come to support and to pray with them, that was stunning to them to get support, because they said usually when we would see Christians coming, even if they were Christian, they would say we'd be kind of like, because they're just going to come and they're going to kind of yell at us about you should have this legislation.
Hmm.
They only would hear from the Christians when they wanted to correct the legislation that they were doing. So they actually weren't as happy to see the Christians coming, because they weren't coming to support, they were coming to correct.
Wow.
And so we go with prayer support. You know, are there prayer needs that you have? And even do you want prayer for legislation that you're doing? And we ended up showing them that, you know, there's scriptures that help to guide legislation. You know,
right.
The Bible really is the governance model. And so once they started finding out that we were coming with good news, with support and encouragement, they wanted to see us. And,
that's
you
so
know,
good.
I ended up with favor with a lot of the legislators, even telling them the destiny, you know, the history is on the walls, but it's also the destiny our state to be the holy seed of a nation, for the nations want a precedent that we would do the thing that is wise and just. So there's destiny. These legislators were like, now as I'm talking to you, now I realize why I'm here. I realize destiny that I'm here to help to bring forth. And of course, they when I walk into the House, especially when the House of Representatives, they are coming up and saying, thank you for helping to guide us. Thank you for helping us. We appreciate your prayers, and they'll hand me their cards. Would you pray for me too? You know,
so you go
and support them and give them, you know, some of their divine destiny that we know from our history. You know, you learn from the history, the destiny that you still have. And so we're waiting for this to rise up as this holy example to the nations, and we're getting opportunities to meet people of the nations and influence them with this holy seed of a nation.
I love that phrase that you said, that the history is also the destiny,
mm-hmm.
and how just the concept of the original intent just continues to play out from Genesis mm-hmm. 1 to Revelation 21, from the walls and the Capitol to what God is still calling out as his heart is for our nation.
Yeah. Right.
I'm reminded, too, of how it speaks of in Acts that as the believers in the first church, as they were empowered with the Holy Spirit and began to move, that it says that they found favor with all people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we aren't finding favor, we're not operating with correct kingdom protocol, and we need to rethink
right.
how we're doing things. But if we'll just be faithful to do that and to carry God's heart in, and as you're bringing out, see these politicians, these legislators, as people of value with a God-given calling and destiny on their lives first, and then what they're able to do for our nation with the position of influence and authority that they own mm-hmm. second,
mm-hmm.
that'll just
yeah.
change everything.
There's something that Penn said actually when he was going to go in to make peace with the Indians, who at that time were killing the British coming in because they all felt threatened. And
right.
Penn had a motto that he said, this will be my strategy. Let's see what love will do.
Wow.
And so he approached them with love and care, and that disarmed them. They wanted to be his friend. They ended up loving each other, nation to nation. And so that's what we need to do. You know, go in with good news and do it in a spirit of love, from God's love, in caring for them and their call as legislators.
I hope you all caught that true statesman tip. Please stay tuned for more of this amazing interview after these 30 seconds from our sponsor.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Moving on to your book, Restoring America, which I would describe as both a prayer and declaration guide to go to war for our nation effectively, how did this project come about?
Well, this happened when we were doing a movement in Philadelphia, and it was America for Jesus. They had done one previously in D.C., and this time they thought, we're going to do it right from where the foundational documents were written for our nation in Philadelphia. And so I was the national prayer leader for America for Jesus in Philadelphia, and I wrote this guide for the 12 weeks for everyone to unite over a prayer in preparation for this event. And God gave me these 12 kingdom keys that are biblical keys to shift a nation back to God, that if we would do these 12 things, our nation would truly be that, you know, we say, God bless America. America
right.
needs to behave in a way that God, that would be in keeping with God's purposes,
right.
that he would bless America. And so I wrote these 12 keys. They were biblical keys, but they were also, it has quotes of past presidents that mm-hmm. realized the importance of the sovereignty of the Bible, the importance of virtue in society. So it had quotes of founding leaders in our society. And I can tell you, as I was writing this, it empowered me to think, yes, there is no question this nation is founded on God's purposes. And we will, and that's why we've been a blessed nation. And if we get back to these, that blessing and prosperity will return to our nation.
That's so good. I really enjoyed it. And then I passed it on to my friend Vanessa Chavez, who is the president and director of Community for Country. And
mm-hmm.
she's a powerful prayer warrior as well. So I wanted to share the strategies that you had in there. And so just the more that we're able to partner across the nation and declaring the same things together in unity, Amen. I just know we'll see some things begin to shift. So, Amen. I loved how you were intentional to include a declaration at the end of each of these short chapters. So would you speak to the power of declaration from a kingly position and perhaps share with our audience your favorite declaration from the book?
The power of unity that you just mentioned, that's why declarations that we would agree on declarations together. If we're speaking things out in unity, God honors that. You know, where two or more are in agreement, God is with them. And so there's power in that. But I think there's an authority that God has put in us to disciple a nation. And it comes from the Great Commission that all authority of heaven and all authority of earth are upon me. Go and disciple nations, not just people.
Come on.
And so... So these declarations, they have the authority of God. I mean, it can be anything biblical. Right. It's a declaration that we can agree on. And, you know, the nation whose God is the Lord is the blessed nation. That's the blessing. We all want to say, God bless America. That's a blessing that we get as we declare the Lord's purposes together.
So good. Would you have one that you would like to share with our listeners from the book?
Well, blessed is the nation who honors the Lord is one that I feel like, you know, we need to agree together on.
So good.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, I know from previous meetings that I've been in with you that you travel extensively around the globe and work with governments of other nations as well as being influential to our own. I would love for you to tell a story about advancing the kingdom in a foreign country and how Holy Spirit showed up and partnered with you in that.
Okay, well, I know I've talked with you about going into northern Iraq, into Kurdistan, and in there, I guess, whenever I talk to them about the Penn model, they want it. They Wow. want this holy model, and they will say, as they learn this, they need this kind of governance. So that's already this holy seed of a nation going to another nation.
Come on.
But I guess another one that's happening currently is that after building this, you know, making this DVD about the history and destiny of this holy seed of a nation to be an example to the nations, then I felt that God wanted me to go to Great Britain and to talk to the leaders in that country, even though when I first got this revelation, I didn't even know who I would talk to.
Right.
But I knew I was to go. And that it would help them that they didn't know the message that was birthed in their country, came to our country, and they needed to be honored because it's where it came from.
Right.
And so we needed to take it back to them and tell them the fullness of the message that was birthed in their country, but take it back so that they could be blessed by it now, even in this season as they're negotiating Brexit. And I guess the miracle is the people that I got to meet, members of parliament, and I guess one and a member of parliament who was in charge of the international affairs said to me, as I had just a few minutes to talk to her, she said, this provides an anchor for us. As we have allowed other religions to come into our country, we've lost who we are. And this message provides an anchor to us as a to restore the foundation that was established. And then another one was a lord in the House of Lords who I got to spend a day with and talk to him about this message he didn't know, and he didn't even realize that he was establishing a city in England to be a holy city, a holy example city, which is exactly what Penn was talking about, and he didn't know about why he was doing it. So Right. he finds out about Penn established Philadelphia to be a city of brotherly love, a holy city. And so this Lord, not only, you know, he watched the DVD 3 times to get all the information out of it,
Right.
and he recorded me for 2 hours to get the message. Now he's coming to Pennsylvania to see the heritage of it and wanting to link a relationship between Pennsylvania and the UK. So
Wow.
God's doing astounding things. This thing is this holy seed is not dead. This right. holy seed is rising up to influence the nations, literally, as Penn's quote said, that he wrote back to his friends in England when he came here, my God will make this a holy seed of a nation, for the nations want a precedent that we would do the thing that is truly wise and just. It is still, now it's becoming a peace tree for the right. nations to bring a peaceable kingdom around the world.
That'll work. So I'm curious, when you were over in England, were you able to visit any of Penn's history there?
Yes, that's why we went. We okay. went to the Jordan Center, the Jordan Quaker Center, where he preached,
yeah.
where he was a member. We got a lot of we gave them resources and they gave us resources. It was
wow.
beautiful learning their faith and seeing where his headquarters was.
Uh-huh.
We'll be back later to film him speaking in that, or someone playing him speaking right there in the Quaker Center, the things that he taught. We also went to Oxford, Christ Church, Oxford University, where he got his Seal of Divinity,
uh-huh.
and went to, we went to the places of origin.
Yeah.
We went to the place where he was imprisoned, the places of origin. It's exactly for us to learn that part of the story, to get the fullness of the story.
So you have an amazing project that's coming out soon that people need to keep an eye out for as well. Would you like to touch on any of that? Or
I'll just say it'll be a film called The Pen. It's a docudrama, and it's called Pen.
That'll work.
So if anyone wants to watch it, or if anyone wants to send funds to help to support it.
Right.
Either way.
Absolutely.
We would appreciate. Yes.
Perfect, perfect. And we'll have links in our show notes for that. So back to our great nation, what would you say is God's original intent, design, and destiny for the United States of America?
I would say that that's in our Constitution. And when we wrote our first Constitution, this is the preamble in our Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to have union in the country, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote for the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. These words were a continued fulfillment of Penn's words, and they're continued for us today. We still need that more perfect union to be a holy example to the nations. The nations look to us like we're the father nation. They look to us for direction. They look to us for help. We're to be that holy example to the nations. And I believe that as we're moving into that right now, even with the president that we have now, who's opened the door for Christians to rise up and speak out, that we have a timing, it's like a Kairos moment that we have now, that we don't know how long that door will be open,
right.
but we have a president that's saying, I'm carrying my Bible, I'm having prayer in the Oval Office, I am giving you Christians the opportunity to rise up and speak out, do it. He has a holy boldness that not many Christians carry. He doesn't care what's coming against him. He will still open that way for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great opportunity. There's a great open door, a great opportunity for us. What will we do with it?
Well said. So what are some of the changes that you have seen in our nation since President Trump took office?
Well, the biggest thing is the open door that he gave to the Christians. I think when he went to speak in D.C., the Family Research Council had a conference that he went to speak in, and he walked in, here's my Bible. Presidents don't normally do that.
Right.
Walk in, here's my Bible. I'm going to, you know, he was trying to open the way for the Christians.
Yeah.
And so of all the things that he's doing, he's trying to listen to God's people telling him in prayer and from the word. He's trying to listen to what does God want, because he knows he's been put in place like a Cyrus, like Isaiah 45, interestingly same as Penn, same verses, that he would build the city and set the captives free, Penn realized those captives, from Penn's life, those captives were actually religious persecuted captives.
Right.
And so today we have a president who is opening the way for the Christians and for them to not be persecuted. And he even has put an ambassador of peace at large, Sam Brownback, was just put into position to stop religious persecution.
Wow.
So this is a great open door that he's given for believers to advance God's kingdom. We have our door. It's time to be courageous.
Yes.
And step up into it.
So good. Come on. So prophetically, what do you expect to see happen in our nation throughout the end of this year?
I expect, as I said, we look at our history to see our destiny. For what we were founded by the divine hand of God, I expect to see that this year coming out is as our nation moving in more into being a virtuous, holy example to the nations, and nations rising up with us. And we saw that in Jerusalem when, this is another thing that I haven't heard a president say before, is the eternal capital of the world is in Jerusalem. You know, that he's tapping into the blessings that you have when you bless Israel. So
gotcha.
we're seeing God's covenantal purposes from our history coming into purpose today.
So good. I love all that. So are there any final words that you would like to share with the people from this platform?
Just, this is a time, Isaiah 60, to arise and shine. Believers, this is a time to rise up, speak out, have a holy boldness, and influence society. Because as the truth is told, the deception will be overcome.
You heard that right here, and that was good. You can't get that just anywhere. So, Abby, I just want to thank you for your time and honor you for what you're doing. And this is a phenomenal interview. I'm excited for our people to get to hear from you. And can you give us just a couple of places where people can connect with you online?
Well, www.healingtreeinternational.com is the main place. I'm also the state leader for the Congressional Prayer Caucus, so they can do it with the Congressional Prayer Caucus as the Pennsylvania state leader.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to having you on a future episode.
Honored to be here.
I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Until next week, you can check out any number of the podcasts from the Are You Real family of podcasts. Until then, it's been Dub, it's been Kingdom, and it's been Real.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Government? For in-depth resources, show notes, information on today's discussion, or to connect with your host personally, please visit areyoureal.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Are You Real family. Until next time, thanks for keeping it real with Are You Real Government?
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.